This is KBBI Homer AM 890. The time is 9:02, and it's time for the COVID-19 Thursday morning brief. I'm Kathleen Gustafson. On the phone, Lauren Carroll from the Department of Public Health. Nurse Lauren, are you there?
Hi, Kathleen. Nice to hear you. You're loud and clear.
Good morning. And Dorotha Ferraro from South Peninsula Hospital. Do you read me?
Good morning, everybody. Loud and clear.
Good morning. And also Jenny Carroll from the City of Homer.
Yep, I'm here, Kathleen. Good morning.
And in the studio, Chief Mark Kirko from the Homer Volunteer Fire Department. Good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
So if you have questions, you're welcome to email Kathleen at kbbi.org, or you can call 235-7721. Josh is standing by to take your calls. Let's start with Lorne Carroll. Nurse Lorne, yesterday a Homer resident was confirmed with the virus. Is that correct?
That's correct. Homer case that we have. And, you know, there's a lot of questions about, can you please tell us more about that individual situation? And really, in line with a lot of layers of federal and state law, is that's about the only pieces of personal information that we can release.
Well, except that it has been released that this person is not in Homer, that they were traveling and have been quarantined in Anchorage. Is that correct?
That's correct. And I just want to give a big thanks to Erin Walbreaker, our public health nurse, who has done the initial interview and started contact tracing. And all of that process is going really good. And there's really want to thank everyone for being so cooperative.
Contact tracing meaning looking for and identifying every single person they've come in contact with.
Yeah, and it's a little bit more than that for sure. When Aaron does an interview, he collects all the information about where laboratory confirmed cases have been. And then what he does as a public health nurse is through that interview, he'll reach out to other folks and collect, and with all the information that's known to him, he'll make a list of significant contacts, and then he'll follow up with them. The significant contacts receive information on how to best prevent any spread of disease. And kind of what that looks like is staying put, self-quarantine for 14 days, and then if and when they have any signs and symptoms that are consistent with COVID or common cold or influenza, to contact their primary care provider immediately for evaluation and perhaps testing.
Thanks, Lorne. Dorotha Ferraro at South Peninsula Hospital, what kind of preparations is the hospital making?
Well, I'll tell you, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
Great. Well, I will tell you, some things changed yesterday at the hospital, and that is that we took, years of planning, most recently the years of planning working on all of our emergency plans, and specifically the last month or so of really adapting those plans to this unique COVID-19 situation. And yesterday, all of that planning work turned into action. And so if folks were around the hospital or no employees or anything there, they may have heard some unique things. And one is that we changed visitation yesterday to strictly no visitors other than a very unique exception. And the downstairs doors have all been totally closed. So now there's only one entrance to the hospital, and that's the upper entrance. And anybody coming through really needs to be seeking medical care or have an appointment, and they are screened very thoroughly. The other thing that happened yesterday is that we activated our alternate care sites. So some folks coming to the hospital for an appointment to a hospital service for an appointment, they're going to a different location today. So, for example, our physical therapy moved down to 4201 Bartlett Street, our specialty clinic building, if you will, and high-need physical therapy appointments are happening down there. Our infusion clinic moved down to our behavioral health building because our behavioral health specialists are all doing telehealth right now. Another change is that we adapted our inpatient And so we're shifting patients of various levels, if you will, of wellness into unique areas throughout the facility. So yesterday we turned years and months of planning into action. It really went well, and the team really, there's certainly hiccups, but the team did a great job of adapting all those spaces to the new needs.
And what are the spaces that are being repurposed? What were they before? Is it like the cafeteria?
Well, for example, physical therapy has moved down the street, and now physical therapy becomes a new inpatient area. That's a lot of floor space, very modifiable floor space, because once you move all of that equipment out, it's a very large room. And so that area turned into, there's a level of inpatient care called swing bed. And what that is, it's kind of like you don't need intensive or even moderate to critical care. You're in a very much a post-surgery situation, or your needs just aren't real standard hospitalized needs, and you might be planning to discharge soon, or you're in a high-intensive physical therapy program. So all of the swing bed patients, for example, moved into the physical therapy gym. So just that's an example of the different areas of the building that will be used for specific levels of care.
Thanks, Dorotha. I want to move to Chief Kirko here in the studio. Chief Kirko, what are your concerns right now?
Our concerns haven't really changed too much. We're still concerned about the social distancing aspect of controlling the spread and maintaining, you know, that safe zone, if you will, and the disinfecting of surfaces, because that we know is still going to be the control points that are going to be most beneficial to everybody's health and safety. We're working on some other things too, like looking at long-range planning, because there's things coming down the road soon, like things of that Homer has relied on for years: tourism, fishing, all those things. We're talking about everything.
Right, shorebird is canceled.
All the things that were normal lifestyle here, we are trying to talk about them and get messages out that we know, we understand that people have concerns about these things, and that we are working on some solutions if we can find them. Some things obviously will have to stay canceled, it just for the safety of everybody, but we are not going to just ignore the normal lifestyle that was once here in Homer.
Okay, thanks. And are you and your teams wearing gloves everywhere? What are you doing? You say keeping surfaces clean. What do you use?
Absolutely. Anytime we're working through any of our ambulances, patient care areas, everything is done in a sterile, process, wearing all the proper PPE, masks, eye protection, gloves, and then a good disinfecting cleaning solution when we're done to assure that all those areas are safe for the next potential patient. And look, we haven't had a patient yet in our ambulances or in any of our facilities
readiness
that we are saying is confirmed. So we treat everything as though it is possible that to be that way, so everybody has an even chance of having the best environment to work through.
All right, thank you, Chief Kirko. And Jenny Carroll from the City of Homer, what are the city's concerns right now?
Well, I've been pretty busy with a team of public information officers working really hard to help people understand the mandates that are coming from the governor's office that are all about what Chief Kirko was talking about, really instituting the social distancing and the travel, post-travel quarantine period, in an effort to try not to overwhelm our hospital, which already has had to transform some of its spaces in preparation. So that was really good that they're working ahead on that. And Homer citizens, we're trying to encourage everyone to pay heed to all the precautions that are out there and the mandates, because it really will make a difference in our community and it really will help save lives. So a lot of messaging going out about that. Some of the other topics that our team is working on are as people shelter in place and don't get out as much, we're trying to work with a group of community partners on ways to help those in our community in need, to say get groceries delivered, to have little tasks done that can be done safely. I want to remind everybody that local pharmacies are delivering prescriptions, cab companies and many businesses are delivering meals and items. So reach out and know that there is help, and the city is working pretty hard to harness the great volunteer energy that's out there in Homer to connect people who want to be involved in a volunteer way, in a safe way, with people who have needs. One of the partners, I believe, is the Homer Chamber of Commerce, has launched a Homer to Go Facebook page, and they are helping to put together a comprehensive listing of businesses, what their hours are, what their services look like now. And I believe this tool will be open to all Homer businesses, whether they're a chamber member or not, to go in and share their information. So stay tuned on that. The city is launching a new COVID-19 more comprehensive website on our homepage. So it will have more information for businesses, FAQs about the mandates that are coming out of Juneau, and helping to link volunteers to those in need. This is a highly evolving situation, and new information is coming out all the time. So my team has really been focused on getting the best information compiled in one place so that people can go there. There's many places where you can get good information, and if you go to the City of Homer website, we'll have there is a simply titled COVID-19 link that you can hit, and you can navigate to a lot of the great resources both locally and statewide and through the CDC. Finally, I want to say that also the city has launched a new COVID-19 information line that Homer citizens can call. The number is 435-3197. It'll be staffed from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday. And if you don't get someone, there will be a message that will ask people certain questions and say if this is your kind of question, you could call there. We are very busy working on a lot of different jobs right now, but that is a line that will go to a person who can help you navigate the information and know where your best resource is to go find more answers. So we're hoping that'll help people connect people to the right information that they need at the right time. So we're doing our best to cover all those bases.
Thank you, Jenny. And I just want to say that KBBI is going to be helping in that way. We're going to be giving over the coffee table in the coming weeks to an exchange of hooking up people who need things done with volunteers, with services, so that we can cooperate with the city and help make a clearinghouse of information so that people can get the services they need. And Eddie, stand by. Eddie is on the line.
Good morning.
Good morning, Eddie. Go ahead.
There was information shared last week concerning the recommendations to have your flu shots taken in order to be better protected in case one does come down with the current virus. And this is directed toward your public health nurse department. I contacted the office yesterday out of wanting more information and on behalf of another acquaintance who doesn't get around much but is concerned about this. Very helpful information, but there was a clarification that I wanted to have it confirmed now on the air if it's that important. According to the nurse that I spoke to who called me back, due to recent cutbacks in state, possibly federal funding, the age range for eligibility to go into the public health nurse office to get flu shots has been reduced to, I believe, 6 months to 29 years of age. And anyone over that age, including, of course, the elderly, more elderly population, which has a more effective flu shot out there available, but maybe subject to cost, are not eligible to go in to the public health nurse for those flu shots if you're over 29. And I wanted to get clarification on that, so, if that is the correct information.
Nurse Lauren Carroll from the Alaska Department of Public Health, public health nurse, can you take that one?
Sure thing. Hey, Eddie, thanks for the call, and thanks for calling us up yesterday. That's correct. Since fiscal year 2015, the section of public health nursing has been cut about 25% of the total budget. So what that means is less money means less services, and like really want to be able to be a viable entity in all of our local communities. So yeah, that's been one of the like hard realities in relation to the price of oil and how in our state budget. In terms of less services, that's correct. The section of public health nursing did decrease its immunization services down to only that layer of 6 months through 29 years of age. One of the hidden silver linings in that is kind of twofold. Is number one, that really encourages folks to get those services at the best place, at the best time, from the best folks, and also while offering the best reimbursement. So what I mean by that is, instead of lining up at the home or public health center to get a flu shot like we used to do in the old days, what's better than that is folks get a flu shot at their medical home or their primary care physician, and that way they can check in, say, annually and get an annual physical and really introduce early intervention if something pops up like cancer. And then the second thing that really does is it frees up your public health nurses to do the rest of their work. And really, a public health nurse gets the biggest return on investment when they're working with systems change and community-level interventions. So those are things that reach all 14,800 people in our area and doesn't limit those really precious resources to just a single family. And that's based upon, like, our role as population-focused healthcare. And there is one thing, though, that Aaron Wahlbrecher and Mary Darbone, the two other public health nurses, are working to clarify, is we believe that we are able to give flu shots to any age right now. But Aaron and Mary just need to confirm that they have medical directives in place so that they can provide those services in the most legally and safe way. So they'll have an answer this morning.
Okay, thank you, Lauren. So email Kathleen at kbbi.org if you have any questions. I'm waiting for, there's only one line open right now, and we're waiting for Peggy Erkineff from the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District to call in with a report, because I know that packets are going out. Learn at home packets are going out. I think Flex today, McNeil Canyon on Friday, Monday at West Homer, they're going to be distributed, and have some have already been distributed. So as soon as Peggy calls, we'll be asking for an update on what's going on with the school district. But I want to go back to Dorotha Ferraro from South Peninsula Hospital. What kind of recommendations are you making right now, Dorotha?
Recommendations?
For people who are listening.
Pretty much everything that Chief Kirko said during his report, which is please, if you are experiencing mild symptoms, if you are sick and just having mild symptoms, please stay at home. And if your symptoms become unmanageable, then call before you come. So that is just very, very helpful and important, because this is the reality out there, is that, you know, our clinics are trying to stay open and continue to care for the greater population. And so just because COVID-19 is out there doesn't mean there aren't urgent and health situations happening. And so the clinics are still busy caring for people who need care, and we really do not want to expose them unnecessarily to other illness. So just really, really calling first. One thing that makes that a little bit easier is this really neat website. It's called C19check.com, C19check.com.
and it's hosted by Emory University Hospital, and it is a pretty personalized self-assessment. You walk through it, you give your age, your medical history, within a kind of just set of parameters, and then you share the symptoms that you're having, and it just really gives you kind of your personal risk assessment. It's not the same thing as seeing or talking to a doctor, but boy, it's pretty darn good, and it can just kind of help alleviate some fears, especially if you're home alone. I think that folks home alone, they don't have anybody to bounce things off of, so that's a nice tool that maybe they can use. One other piece of advice is there's a lot of activity right now. Just Jenny said it great. Just there's so much energy and willingness to give right now. And so lots of outreach from the community to the hospital for donations of masks and gloves and all kinds of things. And I would ask everybody to pause for a moment and give me the rest of the week to get patterns and guidelines and just kind of the where to drop things and just all of that stuff onto our website so that we're really channeling all of the donations and all of the effort to the right areas.
Thank you.
I heard the phone.
Thank you, Dorota from South Peninsula Hospital. Peggy Erkineff from the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District is on the line. Are you there, Peggy?
I am. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. Thank you so much for calling in. So can you talk about the delivery?
Please hang up and try again.
Oh, lost somebody.
If you need help, hang up and then dial your operator.
Peggy, are you still there?
I'm here.
Okay.
I'm here.
Okay, Peggy, go ahead.
Okay. I'm sorry, I didn't hear what the question was.
Well, I want to know an update. I want to hear an update from the school district about distance learning. People picking up their packets, what's going on with the school buildings in terms of anybody coming and going, and plans that the district is making. What about, first, let's start with distance learning. How's that rolling out?
Well, I'll tell you what, we are living in historic times, and the work our staff is doing under the direction of the instructional team is really historic, to shift from 42 schools to remote learning for everybody that has internet access or a computer or device at home. All this week, all of our staff, everybody, so anyone in school is able to take personal development. We've had classes every hour for anything you want to get new information about, learn how to use video technology, anything in that arena. So that's pretty exciting for the professional development for our staff, and then the lift to get everything ready.
And are you having success with being able to reach everyone? And where are the gaps in terms of getting information to people? There must be a lot of students in the district who don't have the kind of internet that's going to allow them to use all the materials they're getting, or is that correct?
That I don't have the exact data. We did a needs assessment, and so my understanding is every school called home to every student or the family, and then families were asked to actually do a survey. From that survey a few days ago, I know we had identified over 500 students that needed a device, and we have Chromebooks we're going to be using for that. So we've been inventorying those and getting those ready to be deployed to those students for use. I know that internet access is challenging for some of our students and families, and we don't want that to be a hindrance for their learning. So for the students and families that don't have the ability at this point to have internet, there are packets that they'll have available so that the learning can continue in some way. And the big thing is we're not giving up on our kids. We're reaching out. Every child will have contact with a teacher or somebody from the school every day when school starts again on the 30th, on next Monday. And we're working through a lot of these logistics as well.
Okay, Peggy, thank you so much for calling in. I wonder, is there any word on... So right now, the buildings are all closed until at least May 1st. Is that correct?
That's correct. So right now, no students at the buildings, and we've asked all staff who have the ability to telework or work remotely to be doing so. And then the custodian's focus is keeping the buildings clean. I know a lot of schools have been getting materials ready, and we have a what we call a symptom-free school protocol in place that we did several weeks ago under the direction of our nursing supervisor, where anybody who has a temperature, the sniffles, a cough, any signs or symptoms of illness is asked to stay home or sent home. So we have that in place at our schools. We're practicing social distancing and doing everything we can to keep our schools a clean, safe place for the people who do need to be on site to work. And then to reduce the density in our schools, that is why we did ask everybody that could telework to please do that and then keep that social distancing in our school sites. And we're doing meals as well. So the kitchen and our student nutrition services staff are working double time to do the breakfast and lunch meals on a daily basis. And I think we're up to over 1,600 peninsula-wide. But really and truly, that number's doubled because it's a breakfast and a lunch, so like 3,200 meals a day are happening on the peninsula.
And buses are being driven out to specific locations, and if you register for the meal program, you get your location for pickup. How can a person, if someone hasn't yet registered for that, are they still eligible?
They are. So we'd ask them, we had an initial online sign-up form, and we closed that so that the information's not coming into that. But people can simply call our student nutrition services, and that's 714-8890 during business hours to either change what their delivery is or add to their delivery or sign up for the first time.
Okay, Peggy Arkenev, thank you so much for calling in. It is time to wrap up. We lost Dorotha Ferrero from South Peninsula Hospital and Jenny Carroll from the city. If either of you want to call back in and make any final comments or recommendations, go right ahead, and we'll be ready to take your call a little late. But for now, I'm going to ask Nurse Lorne Carroll from the Alaska Department of Public Health any last bits of information or recommendations that you have.
If you'd like to make a call,
please sure thing. You know, the incredibly encouraging thing is that I did hear that there's evidence from the chief medical officer, Dr. Ann Zink, that we are having a decrease in flu and cold viruses statewide. This is evidence that our community mitigation, all that stuff that every single one of you are doing, is working. So staying at home and really discontinuing any non-essential travel, those things are working. And, you know, I was thinking, too, that yesterday, three of my neighbors reached out to me just checking in to see if I needed anything. And I think that that's a really good thing to continue. Just continue reaching out and staying connected. Thanks, Kathleen.
Thank you, Lauren. Have a great day, and we'll check in soon.
You too.
And Chief Kirko, do you have any last recommendations or information to put out?
Just a big thank you to the whole team that's working on making the community a much safer place right now. And try to remember, everybody, to keep that mental health a priority as well. I know we're looking at the physical things of illness and sickness, but do what you can. Learn where you can find ways of keeping that mental health in check and really working well for yourself.
Thank you, Chief Kirko. And Jenny Carroll, I hear you're back on the line.
I am. Thank you.
Go ahead.
I might have missed a little bit of what Chief said as I was dialing in, but so my apologies if this is a repeat, but at this time that we are all social distancing in our community, I'd like to encourage people to participate in that great Homer tradition of help your neighbor, but help your neighbor in a safe way, and reach out to your social network to help meet your needs right now until a more formalized way of getting help out to people. Really rely and help out with your friends as best you can during this time. And the outdoors is a great place to social distance. Go for a walk, keep that distance, but get out and ski, take your pets out. You don't have to shelter indoors all the time during this, and that's a piece of that mental health picture that Chief was talking about. So I feel like I live in the best community to be going through this experience. And thank you, Homer, for pulling together and having such great energy to help and do the right thing. So I just want to say I really appreciate that about our town.
And thank you, Jenny Carroll from the City of Homer, and Chief Mark Kirko, Homer Volunteer Fire Department. Also, Dorotha Ferraro from South Peninsula Hospital, and Nurse Lauren Carroll from the Alaska Department of Public Health, Peggy Erkineff, Kenai Peninsula Borough School District. Thank you all for being here today.